We don't have to sit in the same old spot.
Leads us through all the unquiet years. joy. You have heard the psalmist where he said that you are the apple of his eye. I want you to know that you are the peach of my eye. I just want you to know that there are some peaches by the secretary big window there in the foyer, and some bags there if you want to help yourself. First come, first serve, but don't get up and do it now. Go ahead and take some. Now, Mom, these were going to be your peaches, so I got to give them away. She's not out of them. I guess I can't even talk to my mom. We're glad that you're here today, and we always consider it a real joy when we have visitors that are here today, and people that we know that come from a long ways as well to be here with us as here today, too. The announcements that are to be given today, I know Carol Banta has one or two. Did it come up here? Oh, you have three or four. All right. Come on up. I better give you the...
I started out with two, and now I have four or five, so I'll try to make it brief. First of all, a reminder that we need sign-ups for snacks and greeters, and the sign-up sheets are in the kitchen. And also, I have some updates and invites for you. We have, as you've read or may have heard, we have a newly formed activities committee, and they will be discussing possible programs, projects, and events that we can do throughout our church, and we've even talked about maybe a trip. The first thing that came out of that was the ladies' luncheon, and that we enjoyed that last Wednesday, and not to compete with the guys, but there were 16 ladies there who enjoyed just getting together and having a meal together and getting to know one another.
Rub it in.
This is an ongoing thing, and we plan to do this every Wednesday, the fourth Wednesday of every month, and there will also be a sign-up sheet in the kitchen for that, so that we can let the restaurant know how many there will be attending. And kind of out of that, also out of that committee, there was a suggestion to honor the teachers in our community. And so, through the vision of Cheryl Meyer, we are putting together 175 teacher appreciation bags. We'll also go to the aides and to the secretaries. We met this last week. We'll be meeting again Tuesday morning at 9, and anyone can come to do that. We're going to put an apple, a candy bar, a bookmark, and a prayer in each bag, and hope to have it to the teachers by September 10th. As a result of a Thrive-It grant that Donna Tilbert wrote, we were able to buy supplies, and we'll be able to buy the apples and the candy bars and such for these bags. And just a reminder, if anyone is a Thrive-It member, a policyholder, you may be able to write 1 to 2 action grants per year. We wrote for $250, and we were awarded $250 for that. So if you have any questions, talk to your representative, or you can ask me about it. And there's others here who have written those grants, too.
Now, Carol, if I remember right, every Thrive-It member can get $250 once or twice a year.
They can either write, depending on their policy, they can write 1 or 2 grants each year, up to $500 per person.
For different things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they like it to be something either in the community or to recognize or to help a person who's going through a personal problem, tragedy. And they're very lenient with their money, and the application is very simple. Okay, and also you'll find in your newsletter that we are starting to accept the items for the Operation Christmas Child boxes. We'd like to do about 75 or 80 boxes this year, and I really like to emphasize school supplies and personal items, personal care items. Washcloths, soaps. We have plenty of pencils, so we do not need pencils, but anything else school-related is acceptable. And if it's something we can't use, we make sure that somebody gets it that can use it. We'll have a grocery cart in the narthex again. We'd like to fill in early November. There will be a list of items, suggested items, in the September newsletter. Or you can talk to me as we come along on what items you might need. Last year, some people preferred just giving a donation so that we could fill in where needed. And then there'll also be the $9 donation for sending the boxes again this year. That hasn't raised in the last 5 years. So. And I think after we've seen the conditions on TV this week of how some children in the world live and what they're subjected to, I think that they need God's love and promises. And we can show them God's love through our gifts. And that'll start them on their journey, hopefully, with the Lord throughout their life. So I hope you all will join in all of these activities, and we'll be more updates as they come along. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're going to have a quiz to see if you remember every one of those announcements that she made. Just waiting. Did you hear her say it? You're going to have to come up and give it again. But thank you, Carol. I want to let you know that there is going to be a pictorial directory that is in the works that's going to be made and given out sometime this year. And there is a sheet, if you haven't filled it out already, but you can get one. I believe it's on the shelf over by the secretary's office, and get one of these. And we just need to know that your names are spelled correctly, last names in particular, first names sometimes. And if you have a phone number, you know, if you have a cell phone, we'd really like to know what that is or how we can best get a hold of you. And so you know it's not a telemarketer that's calling you as well. So pick one of those up. We hope to have that out. Pictures taken sometime before the year is up this year. And we're looking forward to doing that. I do want to just remind you of the Next Life Foundation annual banquet is coming up. That's with Patty Griffiths, our drummer
here.
She is a part of going to Tanzania, Africa, and started a vocational. The ladies do sewing and the guys do carpentry, right? With that. And so she is going to be telling us more about that. If you want to get to that banquet, you've got the information right there in your bulletin here today. As we close with the bulletins, there's just a lot of people that are not on the prayer request. And I just want to just name the ones that are on there, but then the ones that are not on there as well. You know, we got Scott and Barry, Scott and Bobby Barry, who have a friend named Tim. We've got Enid Criswell, who just found out she's got stage 1 cancer. Donna Osher has a sister, LaVon, who is going through some things. Chuck Tuber is at home, dealing with pneumonia. We've got Janine Gilbert, has a niece, Teresa, that could use prayer. And then Walt and Cheryl Myers' daughter-in-law, Jen, who is dealing with the loss of her husband and son. I believe they were killed in a car accident not 2 years ago. Ones that are not in your bulletin, think of Dean Ramsey. Dean Ramsey is not here today because he's got a swollen knee. And it wasn't the one that the cow kicked. Or the steer kicked, it's the other leg, and not really sure. I think it could be gout, but not really sure on that. We'll find out more tomorrow or on Tuesday. And we've got Jim Tackett, who had a hip replacement. We've got Dorothy Cherry. Dorothy Cherry has been walking out on the street. She wants to improve her balance, and so keep her in your prayers. She comes around 3 times, different times of the day, and it's just fun to see her out walking. And Elmer Lubinis, he's been diagnosed with cancer, has got a support in, but he hasn't heard anything since then as far as what kind of treatment. And then we have Dwayne Anderson as well, who's got ALS. And so these are some of the ones that are not in the prayer request, but let's just go to the Lord right now and spend some time with Him and bringing these people before Him. Heavenly Father, We come to you, Lord, because you ask us to. Forgive us for always asking for you to do something for us. It'd be nice just to be able to pray, Lord, and say, I'm glad that you forgive my sin, and that you love me, and that you sent your Son to die on the cross in my place. And thank you for your faithfulness. And on it could go. But today, Lord, we have friends, people that we know and love that could use a healing touch from your hand. And you can just say the word, Lord. You know, you're able to do that. You've done that in the scriptures. You can do that today. And so we just bring all of these requests, all these people, different kinds of needs before your throne of grace today. And just pray that you would do what is only you're able to do in their lives. Thank you that we can do this corporately as a church. And Lord, there's a lot of unrest, different terrible things going on in this world as usual. We pray especially, Lord, for the loss of our Marines and the families that are grieving after hearing the loss of what has taken place this past week. We pray for the unrest in the country of Afghanistan. There's probably things going on in other countries on this globe that we don't know about, or that we do know something about. And so we thank you for allowing us to be born and to be able to live in this place. But do not forget about those that live in less fortunate places. And Lord, oftentimes we just feel so helpless. And life can be so hopeless for people and going through a lot of difficulties, but we know that you work the best when life gets a little crazy. And you are there for us. And so we don't know what you're going to do and what you're able to do, but we know that you're a living God who hears the cries of your people, no matter who they are or where they're at. And you're willing to do what man cannot see. And sometimes man cannot even do. Not sometimes, we never can do what you can do. And so just be with our friends and those in the world today, and just our president and vice president and the leadership around him and her that need your wisdom and your insights on what is the best thing to do for this country and for the people who are in it, the people who are coming, the people who are serving. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. want you to notice of the different words that are used in the Old Testament for God's word. We find them here. If you hear the word statute, statutes, it's referring to God's word. If you hear commands, you hear precepts, you hear decrees, they're all words that telling us about God's word. And so just kind of throw that out there to let you know that each of those words have meaning, different kinds of meaning that go along with God's word. And just something for you to be aware of. So the first one says, your statutes are wonderful. Therefore, I obey them. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands.
Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name.
Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. And your laws are right.
The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy.
to take our offering, but we have gone to a offering box that you find in the back of the church. If you have come to want to give, just put your gift in that offering box back by the sound system that is there. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes to us from Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. It's kind of a finishing off what we started last Sunday. I read in Jesus' name, it says, "Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, 'Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean.' After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. 'Are you so dull?' he asked. 'Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body.' In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, 'What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean.'" Heavenly Father, use your word today in each of our lives. And Lord, we do want to come clean today, which means we need to be honest with you as far as what is in our hearts. Because you see it, you know it, and oftentimes we like to try to cover it up or make us look like we are better than what we really are. So Lord, use your word today in this place. In each of our lives today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The background of this text takes us back to the Pharisees. In the same chapter, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they came to Jesus. They came from Jerusalem. They went to observe Jesus and his disciples. But remember, they did not come to serve him. They came to observe and to see if they could find something that they could put on him that would kind of make their day. And so what they came up with is that they saw that some of Jesus' disciples would eat the food without washing their hands. And they used that as asking Jesus a question. Why is it that some of your disciples don't wash their hands when you eat food? Now, they're coming from a reference point of rabbinical teaching, instructions that comes with washing and being clean. And so their whole idea is what needs to be done for a person to be clean versus someone who's unclean. And when they went to the marketplace, remember, they would come back and they would wash their hands and go through a ceremonial washing and cleansing because they had been spending time in a marketplace where there were Gentiles and there might have been Jews that didn't wash their hands. And so they did that as a way of saying, we are better than the rest of you guys because we wash our hands. It is very good to know that today we do not go under the ceremonial law or the civil laws that we find in the Bible, but we're held to only one law, and that's the moral law of what is right and wrong with God. And he says that to us in his word, what's right and what's wrong. What is righteous, what is unrighteous, what is what is clean and what is sinful. That is what we go by today. And so these Pharisees and teachers of the law, they're going by the tradition of the elders, which is the oral law that was passed on generation after generation. And you know what happens when you pass something on verbally to someone. You probably played this game where you probably got 6 to 8 people, even more, and some person starts it by whispering in somebody's ear, and then that person whispers into the next ear, and it gets to the end. The last person says, this is what he or she heard, and what's the result? It's all messed up. And that's what's going on here with the tradition of the elders, the rabbis before. As time goes on, people would add things that were never meant to be there. And so the Pharisees think that they are clean and everybody else is dirty, because they do the ceremonial washings, and they do it very meticulously. And if you didn't do it, sorry, you can't be a part of their group. So remember, the oral law did not get written down until 200 to 500 A.D. And that's where you get the Jewish writings of the Talmud and different writings that they have. But before that, was all oral. And of course, in the Middle East, the Near East, they would get it quite correct. They would keep it over the years, because that's just the way they were. They would pass it on to their kids. They would say it over and over again, and hopefully the kids would remember what mom and dad told them, or grandpa and grandma. In America today, it's not quite like that. We have to either have it written down, or we just don't believe it. If it's written down, we will believe it. But you can't believe everything you come up that you read on the internet, can you? And sometimes you can't believe everything you see written down. You've got to question everything today. Because truth is so relative at this time in our history than it's ever been before. People are still asking, well, what is true? Well, what's true for me is what I want it to be. And I don't care what you think. That's the world we live in. So how does Jesus respond to these Pharisees and these teachers of the law? He does something very he's a genius at this. He refers to Isaiah. He just says, well, Isaiah was right. And Isaiah is a prophet. Everybody would know who Isaiah is in the Old Testament. And he calls them hypocrites. You hypocrites, according to Isaiah, where Isaiah wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but not their hearts, for they are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. And that's, he's just quoting what Isaiah says. The word hypocrite in the Greek means mask, a drama mask. You would hide behind the mask and become some other person, the character that you are a part of in the drama. But to remove that mask, then you are who you really are. And oftentimes, if you're called a hypocrite, you don't like that word, do you? But the shoe fits, you gotta wear it. We don't like the word hypocrite, but you know, let's face it, we all are. We don't all do what we know that God would want us to do every day, every hour of the day. We mess up, because we're sinners. So the thing we find in chapter 7 of Mark, it's a dialogue, an exchange between these religious guys from Jerusalem and Jesus that has to do with what is clean and what is unclean. Is it tradition or God's word? Is it lip service to God or God's word in your heart? Real worship, or is it meaningless worship, or worship that is in vain? It doesn't really mean anything. Man-made rules or God's word? Pharisees and teachers of the law, or Jesus? Who are you going to believe? Whose word are you going to go by? There are two different thoughts going on here, and it comes down to which is the truth. If you haven't figured it out by now, whenever Jesus speaks, that's what truth is, because he himself is truth. Truth is a person. So Jesus, as he is teaching and telling these Pharisees and teachers of the law, it has anything to do with your ceremonial outward observance of the law that is important. It's what is really on the inside. What goes in is not as important as what comes out of your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth, usually it's what you are thinking in your heart. The desires you have. It's who you are as a person. And so Jesus doesn't speak about a list of do's and don'ts. Jesus is really speaking about a relationship. What is your relationship with God today? Where is God at in your life? Is he in your heart, or are you more concerned about your stomach? What goes in to your belly? Because uncleanness comes by what we eat. It goes into the stomach, it goes out of the body. It's just a biological process that we all know about. The evil things come out of the heart. And we're going to get to that. As Jesus points out, these are the things that come out of one's heart. This is what defiles a person. So he points to what is inward. Uncleanness is what is in your heart that comes out of your mouth. Because within the heart comes, here we go. And he says it quite clearly. Evil thoughts. Have you ever had an evil thought? Guilty. And that's just the beginning of what Jesus says. Evil thoughts. Sexual immorality. You know, each one of these could be a sermon in itself. What is given here. I just put to some things that just come to mind as I was doing this message this week. Evil thoughts, you know, have you ever been mad or said something you wish you wouldn't have said to your mom and dad when they were alive? Or if they are alive. And it's not if you just said anything, but if you ever thought something about them that was not right, was not true. Sexual immorality, you look at social media. You know, you got rap music with words that would just go like, I mean, I don't listen to rap. But I do hear sometimes rap with my confirmation students. And I'm going like, what did they just say? And they go like, oh. And they erase it or they change it. Sorry, pastor. I go, I don't want to hear those words in my office. I don't ever want to hear them in my presence. It can be in music. It can be what you see on the computer or on your cell phone. I mean, there's all kinds of different things today that just a little click of a button, you get into things that you know are very sinful. Or you can read. Sexual immorality. We know that God is all for sex. But it's to be done his way. That's between a man and a woman in marriage. That's where it's to be. Anything outside of that, God says is sinful. It's wrong. Not a popular topic today. Matter of fact, this is very true. I ran into a fellow here at, went to a graduation open house. And I saw him, I greeted him, and he goes, I said, well, how's married life going? He goes, oh, it's going really good. He goes, now, you wouldn't marry us, would you? And I said, well, I wouldn't. He goes, why was that? Was it because we were living together? I said, yeah. It's probably because you were having sex as well. Well, we were, but you know, you got to try things out before you get married to see if you're compatible. I go, that's not what God's word says. Well, that's why you haven't seen me around. And I go like, well, you're not going to have to answer to me. You have to answer to God someday. And so that was kind of the end of the conversation. But he just goes like, well, I remember. Yeah, you would marry us, would you? You go like, no, I won't. If you want a Christian wedding, we'll do it God's way. We're not going to do it the way of the world. And what you think it may be. And I said, well, that's kind of hard to notice. But that's, I believe God's word is true. And he does that to protect us. And to give us something that we would never have otherwise. That would bring joy into your heart and life. Jesus goes on and he says theft. So anything, robbery, stealing. Have you ever stolen anything or taken something that from somebody? And you go like, no, I've never done that. But have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought of taking something but you never took it? When you go to Menards, there's something you go like, well, I'd like to have that, but you leave. But you leave because you didn't take it. Well, you think it. It's just like doing it. All of these that Jesus gives, murder. You remember the rich young ruler that we find in Mark chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus, this young man comes up to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the rich young man hears Jesus say, well, you know, you don't murder, you don't do this, you don't do that, da, da, da. And what does the guy say at the end? He goes, oh, I've kept all those things. And then Jesus said, well, then go sell everything you have and give to the poor. And he hung his head and he went away. So he had everything by worldly standards, but he wanted to hang on to everything he had because they were his. Not God's, or any way to help anybody else. It was his. There's a lot of things in that parable that this man said he was good at. Doing, he kept all those laws. But none of us can keep the Ten Commandments. I don't care how hard you try, you can't. You'll break one of them before you even leave the church today. Somewhere along the way, or on the way home. The law was never given to save anybody. The law was given to show us that we need a Savior in our lives. And only Jesus is the one who died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. We need to do business with Jesus. We need to come clean with Jesus. We've got adultery in Matthew 5. It's a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking, and he says that if a man looks at a woman lustfully, he's committed adultery. Have you ever done that, guys? Ladies? No? You see, sin is different in God's book than in the ways of the world. And therefore, when we know that we have sinned, it should move us to say, Lord, I need to be forgiven because I want to be right in your sight. I want to be righteous. You go on, he's got greed. Rockefeller, one of the Rockefellers, very multimillionaire, got into the oil way back in the probably 1800s. And one of his sons, somebody asked him, he said, well, how much is too much? And he said, oh, just $1 more. Greed, never satisfied. Always wants something more. never content. You've got malice, which is hate. So you hate someone, you don't like them, and you make it known. And if it's not to them personally, it's to someone else, of just how much you hate that person. There's deceit, which is lying, not telling the truth. There's lewdness, which it can be like a strip club or a gentleman's club, is showing that, hey, this isn't right, even though it's called adult entertainment, pornography. Lewdness. Envy is like the evil eye. Again, you see something, you get mad at somebody, you wish you had something, and that you want it. It can lead to greed. Envious, again, something you are not satisfied with your life. You've got to have something else. There's slander, which is harming a person's reputation. Arrogance, which is pride. And then it goes on, he finishes it with folly. And we find in Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1, it says, the fool says, there is no God. A lot of people today live their lives as if God does not exist. Or they don't try to think about God. Some even say there is no God. I was talking to a pastor this week who said, you know, I go on the computer and read what some of my parishioners write on Facebook or on their computer and send out to people. And he says, you would not believe what he reads. The words that are used. He said, then I see him in church on Sunday. And they look just as nice as can be. Smiling. But you read what's the writing and sending to people. It's disgusting, he said. What do you do about that? Well, Jesus gives us the answer here. Whatever is in a person's heart, you gotta deal with the heart. You gotta come clean. If it is unclean, then it is sinful. And we cannot stand before God as clean. And outwardly isn't the same as inwardly. We're guilty, but God provides a way for us to be clean. That's the good news. God provides a way for us to be clean. And it's called the cross. And Jesus died on that cross for all of our sins. And he'll forgive you. And we need to live in that forgiveness every day, don't we? So the Lord is asking you, who are here today at Harbor of Joy, Lutheran Church, do you want to come clean today? Do you want to come clean? Which means you want to be honest. We be honest before the Lord. And tell them that, hey, I'm a rotten sinner. I can't even keep these things that Jesus mentions here. So I know that I'm guilty today, but I'm going to admit that to you, Lord. I want to come clean. AA meetings. Why do you have AA meetings? It's for people to come to admit that they have a drinking problem with alcohol. They want people to come clean and admit that. And so some do. And some just like the program because it's just helpful to keep them from getting drunk. As long as they're sober, they're good. And yet you have others that are in the program that say, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I don't always agree with that. And I go like, the Lord can redeem you, he can forgive you, and give you a whole new life without alcohol. As parents and grandparents, we want our kids and grandkids to own up to their misbehavior and to come clean. Don't we? They misbehave, say, now what did you just do that you shouldn't be doing? What do your kids or grandkids say? Whatever. I don't care. clean is to be honest and say, well, this is what I do. And it was not right. And I need to say I'm sorry. I need to apologize. It shouldn't be you as a parent or grandparent saying, now, you go on and say you're sorry. Of course, a lot of times they say they're sorry. You can tell they don't. But we can do that with God, too. We can say, Lord, forgive me, not really mean it. Just kind of help me out of this pickle I'm in here today. Remember, what goes in our mouth and what comes out of our heart, that's what matters to God. Will you become clean today? How is your heart this morning? You know, when it comes to things of life, we like clean things, don't we? We like clean water. We like clean air. We like clean food. We like a clean house. We like a clean car. We like a clean hotel room. We like clean eating utensils. Well, how about your heart this morning? Is it clean? Do you desire having a clean heart? The Lord will listen to you this morning because He's concerned about who you are and what's going on in your life. But only He can make you clean. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You know everything about us. We didn't kind of say that before communion. We fail You, Lord, in thought, word, and deed, and we don't love our neighbor as we should. But Lord, today we want to become clean, which is be honest before You and say, Lord, forgive me for the things that You have brought to my mind, even in this message today, in this sermon. Lord, I know I need Your forgiveness. We can be here and say, I'm so much like the Pharisees, wanting to be perfect in everything and expecting everybody to be like me. And you know that that's not true. But only Your Son, Jesus Christ, and Lord, You knew this, that's why You sent Him. Come to save and to seek sinners, and to go to the cross. When Jesus was born, He knew the mission was that He would die on the cross, but He'd rise again on the third day. And so today, Lord, we want to come clean. And by faith, we do this. We just say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. And I know that even if I receive forgiveness today, I'm going to need forgiveness by tonight. As gracious and as loving You are towards me, Lord, may You work in my heart to be that way with others. There's only one who is good, there's only one who is perfect, and that's Jesus. So, Lord, begin that work in my heart, right now, this morning. Whatever it is. May You wash me clean. Through Your shed blood on the cross. That I may rejoice. And know that I've been made new. Because of what You have done for me today. And so we pray the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. Please stand. Let's recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning, followed by the benediction. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died, was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction as you are seated. It comes from Jude, verse 24. Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Jesus says, I am the way, the truth,